heard that the Elton John movie, they didn't use any Elton John music.
I hear the Elton John movie is better.
But they didn't use any Elton John music.
They used Elton John music during the preview.
What? So if I go to see an Elton John movie, all I get is whatever they play during the preview?
No, I'm not saying you didn't hear that. I just find that hard to believe. I'm a doubting Thomas. Show me Elton John's palms. Show me his sequined cape.
Someone went to the movie and came back and said they didn't play any Elton John music. Now, maybe they just don't know what Elton John music
maybe,
is.
Maybe
they went in thinking that they're going to hear John Lennon and instead heard Elton John and got confused.
Sure.
I don't know.
Maybe all they wanted was, can you feel the love tonight?
That's right. I wanted Lion King.
That didn't happen.
Weird guy in the 70s wearing funky glasses.
All right, well, welcome back.
All right, now I have a joke.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
To the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we are exploring how to take our faith. Beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How you doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Hello, Patrick.
And as always, it's going to take a turn here, because pretty soon, Pastor David Bowser won't be here, as always.
It's true.
Yes, he'll be gone for a month.
I'm going to take a dark and scary turn.
Katie and I have some good plans for our listeners.
We do have plans.
Yes. Yep. All right, well, welcome back.
Yeah, I'm basically phoning in this podcast anyway, so it's fine.
Aren't
just
we
this
all?
Episode.
And he's leaving because he's going to have a baby.
Yes.
Like,
I'm not just like
quitting.
He's not leaving because he dislikes us or you, the listener.
I'm out, right. I took my faith as far beyond Sunday as can go. I've reached another Sunday. Where else am I supposed to go?
But I'm probably willing to bet you and Amanda, your wife, decided to get pregnant to get a break from Beyond Sunday. You're like,
Yeah, that was definitely in our plans. I was like, you know what? I'm like 3 months into this podcast thing. I'm gonna need an out. So let's work on this.
All right, I've got some news for us.
That's good because I want to not have that conversation.
Do you know anything about aliens?
I know everything about aliens.
Everything.
Everything.
Okay. Kitty, do you know anything about aliens?
Is it the place in Arizona, right, that the aliens come?
Oh,
it's not in Arizona.
Area 51.
Area 51.
Is it New Mexico?
No, it's not New Mexico.
Roswell, New Mexico.
No, Roswell is in New Mexico. Area 51 is in Nevada.
Area 51's
we're
not
all
in Roswell?
Wrong. It's okay.
Oh, whatever. Yes.
All right, but right now, there's a petition going around.
There are aliens there, so it's fine.
To storm Area 51.
Excellent.
Colin, they can't stop us all. So they want to get a group together to get to meet up.
At Area 51,
and run on in to get those alien secrets.
Because the military personnel who guard Area 51 can't stop us all.
Can't stop us all.
They can stop a lot of us.
Probably all of us.
They've got a lot more firepower.
But
for some reason, I'm seeing like the episode of Game of Thrones where like all the dead are like coming up to the north.
So far, 1.9 million people have said that they are going 1. To go 1.9
million.
1.9 million, yeah.
Are they pulling a Netflix or a Amazon Prime and storming the wrong place? Are they going to Roswell instead of Area 51? That'd
maybe,
be funny.
Maybe. Yeah. The guy who created this Facebook petition has since come out and said, it's a joke. And I would think that'd be obviously.
Right. But all you people took it seriously.
Yeah, so are you planning on... It's September 20th, so right around the corner. You'll be back from paternity leave. We can get a group together.
I'll take my baby boy.
Beyond Sunday, on the road, at Area 51.
Yeah, we could do a live broadcast.
Interview an alien.
No.
You don't want to interview an alien?
No.
I mean, I don't want to do this, but I would want to interview an alien.
What if they, like, take you in their spaceship?
What's the worst that they're going to do to me?
But they're
suck your brains out?
Okay, and
the aliens are under captivity, all right, at Area 51. They're not just, like, hanging out with their spaceships. Like, flying
it's
not, around.
I don't know.
It's not
there
men
was
in black,
a story
Katie.
Where, like, the silverback monkey at the zoo took the child.
And sucked his brains out?
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, even if they're held in captivity, things can still happen.
Okay, so... Because of silverback monkeys.
First off, silverback gorillas.
That, too.
All right. All right, yeah, so now there's been a competing one that just recently came out. This is breaking news.
Yeah.
Because this came out, I think, yesterday.
Okay.
And that is a storm Loch Ness Lake. Find the Loch Ness Monster.
Loch Ness Lake isn't even being guarded. Why do we have to storm it?
Because you got to get in there to get that Loch Ness Monster.
But what is storming? Like, are we, like, just go to the lake? We don't have to storm anything. We can just go.
Look, I don't make these Facebook posts, okay? I'm just telling you about them.
Storm Loch Ness. When are we going to storm the Pacific Northwest and find Sasquatch?
They had a whole series out there. There was a show on like, the Yeti. Learning Channel about like finding Bigfoot.
Clearly, I watched the Learning Channel.
Did we find Bigfoot?
It was like 8 seasons long. No Bigfoot's found.
No Bigfoot.
Oh, my gosh.
Excellent.
You know, but these are all good.
Ooh, another good movie, Smallfoot.
Smallfoot? Is that a movie?
Mm-hmm. It's a kid's movie.
Littlefoot is a movie.
No, that's The Land Before Time. Littlefoot happened to be a character.
Okay. What's Smallfoot?
Smallfoot is when the, like, Yeti guy finds a human.
Oh.
Okay. I did not see that. That sounds
hard pass.
No, it's for kids.
Yeah.
It's
a most kids' movies are dumb. Yeah.
Lion King is great.
So, do you think if the incident does happen, would they find anything in Area 51?
No.
Probably not.
There's no aliens at Area 51.
I agree.
I mean, they'd find stuff. Is there stuff at Area 51?
I bet there's some super cool top secret stuff.
Right.
But not aliens.
Aliens are not one of those things.
Yeah. I think, like him or loathe him, Donald Trump is probably proof that there are no aliens, because he would have tweeted it by now.
If Donald Trump knew
that there were aliens,
he would lack the ability to keep that secret.
He's not keeping that thing under lock and key. He's letting it out. Okay.
He's a streamer
consciousness kind of guy.
That's fair, but I mean, he's kept other national security secrets.
Has he, though?
I don't have atomic launch codes. You know, those have not yet been tweeted.
Yeah, granted, but nobody's even interested if he tweeted in, them, like, a string of numbers and letters, you know, but, like, are there aliens?
Plenty of people are interested in our launch codes.
I'm just telling you this. He's in there, and, like, people are talking bad about him. He's like, hey, guess what, everybody? There's aliens. Everybody's excited. You know,
that's true.
He would use it as a diversion tactic. I think he's smart enough to do that. But not necessarily smart enough to keep it secret.
Okay. I'm pretty sure there are no aliens, regardless of whether or not anyone has tweeted about it.
Okay, well, regardless, I also think if the U.S. military wanted to keep 1.9 million people out of that base, they're staying out of that base.
Yeah. That's probably true, yeah.
Especially the kind of people that are going there to look at aliens. I just don't think they're getting through that machine gun fire. These are probably comic book nerds who haven't showered in a week.
Wow, that's getting all sorts of judgy all of a sudden.
And I am say that as a comic book nerd.
Have you showered in a week?
Yes, I'm married. I have to.
Oh, there you go.
I worked at summer camp, though, and hey, some weeks, you know, you know what
summer camp's a whole new world.
Yes. All right, let's move on to our main topic.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to talk this evening, or whenever you listen to this. It's not even evening when we're recording.
Light a candle, pull up a, you know, nice dinner.
Yes.
And have supper with Beyond Sunday.
I think, you know, around the fireplace.
Ooh.
You know, like, it's like a
summer. Do we need
We had a cold front.
It's like fire time talk
cold
with
front
FDR.
Meant like 92.
Yes, it's like you just sit in your rocking chair, turn on the
Sunday
radio.
Fireside chat, yeah.
You know, get your pipe out. And
you're
just
rocking right now. That's funny.
Rocking,
yeah, of course. You know, I'm getting in the mood. All right, well, we're talking today about this idea that Martin Luther proposed for us about. We live in two kingdoms.
It's true.
One kingdom here on earth, one kingdom in heaven, and mm-hmm. how we make a balance of that. But before we get into that, I have another news article that I think can get us there. So this is a Baptist church in Virginia, and this also recently just came out. A pastor there on his little placard outside the church, you know, little church signs.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a church sign that made me think anything interesting. Mostly I think they're stupid. But
okay.
Because most of them have really cheesy slogans.
Yeah, right. Sure.
No, you know, but
at its best, it has information about when the church is doing something.
Yeah, or maybe a Bible verse. I would say that's probably at its best.
Right.
Usually it gets to cheese real quick.
Yep.
But he has put on the church line. It says, America, : love it or leave it. You know, that's what it says right there. And this came out this past Sunday, and people are not happy about this.
Yeah?
That they're
Who's not happy?
Including some members of his congregation.
Ah, okay.
Did not come to church or are stormed out of church that day due to this sign. Love it or leave it. What do you think about this?
Well, I would want to know a little bit more context. I mean, my initial gut reaction is that I'm not a fan, but
sure.
I don't.
Right.
What context do you want to know? I mean,
like, what was his purpose? Was his purpose just to be as literal as it sounds, or was he trying to make a difference? I don't know. Because there are lots of things, if I'm trying to think the best of my neighbor, there are lots of things that I have done in my life where I have meant it as one thing to try to get people to think about something,
mm-hmm.
and it has been interpreted in another way because of a context that I didn't think to put it into.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this seems pretty obvious.
Right.
It seems pretty blatant. It seems unlikely that that's the case. But for the moment, I would like to give him the benefit of the doubt until you read the second page of the article and tell me that I'm wrong.
So this is, I think, in somewhat of a response to, you know, President Trump has been feuding with some members of the Democratic Congress, mostly women, and mostly minorities. And has and has kind of insinuated, go back to where you came from. You know, and last week there was a chant at one of his rallies where the chant crowded, you know, something like go back home.
I think it was send her back.
Send her back about a Muslim representative from...
Who is an American citizen.
Who's an American citizen from Minnesota.
Right.
And Donald Trump did not squash that at the time, but has since said that was inappropriate.
Right.
So, you know, we'll just give him what he said.
But
know.
So we this has come out of a came a, out of a time
came,
of that.
Came out of this idea, and the pastor. I don't have the exact quote here. My printing cut it off, but he did say something to the effect of, "I've been thinking a lot about America, and if these people who are criticizing our country, why don't they just go try living in one of those other countries for a little bit?"
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a that's an interesting notion. You know, who was it? Winston Churchill, I think, said democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others.
Sure.
And so there are a lot of things wrong with democracy. Like, let's just be honest about that. Like, you know, and particularly in the United States, I think we're in the last 25 years, or since the 70s, really, even seeing a lot of the flaws of our democracy.
Sure.
That it was perhaps not the the perfect bastion of ideology that we wanted it to be. But that does not mean that critiquing something means that you should leave it, or that you're thinking that it should be thrown away, right? Like,
sure.
I can have a healthy critique of ways in which the world works. That doesn't mean that I want to just give up and stop living in the world. Yeah. I can have a healthy critique of this podcast. I still want to be a part of the podcast.
Right. Sure.
And it sounds like he's saying, well, if you're going to offer a critique, then just get out. Like, we don't want any criticism here. This is the only way to go. And so just... Just get out. And now, that doesn't seem helpful to me.
Now, in fairness, this is not the first time that these things have been said.
Sure.
You know, this is something that's been existing for quite some time of people saying, if you don't like it, you can just get out.
Yeah.
Kind of to end political conversation or to hear somebody offer any kind of criticism. That's kind of thing. What I find most interesting about this is coming from a church.
Right.
Now, this is on their placard. This is not coming from a Christian. This is coming from a church.
Yeah.
Right.
And so this is from an organized body of Christ wants this as their message to the community.
Mm-hmm.
If you dislike the country that we reside in, get out.
Yeah.
And that, I think, this is where it comes super problematic for me. I think a person then saying that America, love it or get out, is dumb. I would say that's not really helpful to political discourse. But when a church wants this as part of our message to the world, I think this is where we get kind of silly. Like, this is where we get, this is where we get, I think, real dirty in a sense. And I think the church is overstepping a boundary it should not.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, so I think that this kind of leads us to this, like, what is our duty as Christians, though, you know, from whether you're politically conservative or politically liberal, what, in a sense, trumps that? Does your Christianity, does your faith come above your heritage and our country or your political leanings, or which one comes first?
Right.
Well, I would like to think that our faith comes first, and what we were commanded to do is to love God with all our heart, our soul, and our might, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I hope that that is what people are thinking.
Sure.
Clearly, if that is on the sign outside of the building, that's not necessarily what people are thinking.
Yeah.
Or they're thinking, if you don't like that, get out.
Right. Ooh. If they don't like being loving your neighbor as yourself,
well,
get out.
I mean, well, it's only possible.
That,
I think,
to me, isn't loving your neighbor as yourself, what
I
they
think
just
that's
wrote.
A fair argument,
so, I mean, that's not very welcoming.
Sure.
But that's a really rough question right now, because I feel like our country is in this state of division, and there's a lot of people that are very in your face and adamant about how our country is, and if you don't like it, you do need to leave, and you need to go back to wherever you came from, or, I mean, all kinds of things are being said right now.
And this is not the first time that this has happened in the United States, right? I mean, you can go back to World War II, and both people of German descent and people of Japanese-American descent were harassed, and, you know, we even know stories of Japanese internment camps at this point. It was easier to identify people of Japanese descent than it was people of German descent, because we tended to look like everybody else. But, you know, there are a lot of German Lutheran churches who started doing English services during World War II because they didn't want to be known as the German-speaking church anymore, right? So, I mean, this has always been a thing, or there's always been a part of the United States that has had this kind of mentality of either be like us or get out. But when we encounter this as a body of Christ, and I think this gets back to your point, Patrick, which one are we putting forth first, right? Are we putting forth first our identity as children of God and a part of the body of Christ, or are we putting forth first our identity as a member of the United States and an American in that sense? Luther, when he was writing, would talk about this from his own context, which I think is probably worth kind of reviewing quickly. So if we remember, you know, in the early 1500s, the Holy Roman Empire was the religious and political government of the day. The Pope was not the emperor, but the Pope had power alongside of the emperor, and the two worked in tandem with one another. And one of the things that Luther was writing against is having that kind of conflation between religious and secular authority. He's saying, like, you know, people who are in religious authority should not also be having political authority, and vice versa. And so as he was writing, one of the things that he and Philip Melanchthon, who was another one of the reformers he was working with, one of the things that they wrote about was this idea that we have now come to call two kingdoms. Two kingdoms is not a phrase that they ever actually used. They, because, I mean, for one, they were speaking German. But also just wasn't the phrase they used.
I don't know. Is that two? No.
I have no idea what two is in German. Anybody know?
Vines? Eins?
Eins, Vines? Dreins? Yeah, it's Vines.
Oh, that was French. Sorry, go ahead.
Un, deux, trois. Yeah.
And I got that from Cool Runnings.
Which is the Jamaican?
Yeah, but there's a German team and they count
No, they're Swiss.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, but do the Swiss speak German? I don't know. We're way off topic. Anyway,
sorry.
We digress. They didn't use the phrase two kingdoms. But that's how we've come to talk about it. We've come to talk about this idea of two kingdoms. And what this is trying to capture, it's kind of centered around the theology of chapter 8 of the book of Romans. This division between spirit and flesh that Paul is talking about, that there's a spiritual side of our body and there's a fleshly side of our body, is how Paul kind of gets at this idea that we are both saint and sinner, which is another idea that Luther would talk about, that we want to and are striving to be the perfected human beings that God has created us to be. Through the blood of Jesus, we're able to do that, but we're also still broken and we still sin. And Luther took that to the next step to say, we are also living in two kingdoms, that we have a secular authority to which we are bound and which we are a part of, right? We live in communities in which there are laws and things that we have to do, but we are also in the kingdom of God, which does not expressly mean the church, right?
Yes.
So the church can be as much of a part of the secular authority as anything else, but we are bound to the law of God. And so that division has been used in a lot of different ways, including to try to tell Christians that we shouldn't run for political office or things like that, or that we shouldn't be involved in politics at all, or we should keep politics out of the pulpit, or we should do any all sorts of things, which is not what Luther was trying to get at. Those, you can have reasonable arguments for all of those, but that's not what Luther's point was. Luther's point was, when we're following the law of God, we do the things that God wants us to be doing because the will of God is within us, and we're not even thinking about it, right? So I love my neighbor not because I know that there's a law that tells me to love my neighbor. I love my neighbor because it's my neighbor. Because what else am I supposed to do? And that's when we're living into that kingdom. And when we're looking for laws to try to correct ourselves or laws to try to guide our thing, then we're living into this secular principle because we're not embodying the love of Christ through our being. And so when we take that principle and apply it now, because remember, Luther was trying to kind of break up this this power of religion and politics. And now we're in a place where it almost seems like we're moving back towards a combination of religion and politics in some areas, which people can make an argument for or against. But certainly, you know, within the framework of the Constitution, we've talked about this before in the United States, there is intended to be a separation of church and state. What does that look like? Yeah. What does it mean for us as Christians to realize that we do not have to We do not have to agree with our government or disagree with our government in order to be a good Christian. Mm-hmm. That there are good Christians who are Republicans. There are good Christians who are Democrats. There are good Christians who are moderates. There are good Christians who have never voted in their life. You can be all of those things, mm-hmm. but the call, for me, the call of the kingdom of God, that kingdom has to be above and beyond any other secular call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if there's a law in the United States that comes in conflict with a law of God, I am bound to follow the law of God, mm-hmm. first and foremost, mm-hmm. which is how Christians have gotten themselves into trouble throughout history.
Sure. Yeah, these things have happened. They've happened here in the United States. Of conscientious objectors to whether sure. that's war, mm-hmm. whether that was slavery, mm-hmm. You know, whatever social thing is happening at the time, Christians have gone out there and from their public position or public office and said, I'm taking a stand against this. Some of them I agree with. Some of them I do not agree with.
Sure.
You know, that I think that they were wrong. But I think this does lead us to, I think, some interesting questions that you mentioned here. We have more of a desire to merge the church and state right now, a greater desire to kind of feel those two things together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every American president, or at least every modern American president, has claimed Christianity in their campaigning and in who they are as part of their identity. Whether that's true or false, that's not up to me to say. But every political candidate has said those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of it. They're having to appeal to a Christian base by saying, I'm like you, I'm a Christian, you know, that's why you should vote for me. And I think too, we have now this idea of like this church saying America, love it or leave it, is this idea that in the church, we're having this very big confusion
mm-hmm.
with American ideals and Christian ideals are the same ideals.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really where we're getting into problems here.
Right.
And I think that's really where borderline, if not full out, idolatry is happening.
Yeah. Well, we've made it into one kingdom, right?
Yes.
There's one kingdom, and it is the United States. That's the kingdom yeah. that we choose to follow. And so we've become a religion of the state rather than mm-hmm. becoming a religion that is outside of
yeah.
political boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that this leads to years, you know, months ago, after Colin Kaepernick, the situation in church
sure.
went out there.
Years ago, even. Yeah.
Was a pastor in a church was burning Nikes because of what Colin Kaepernick was doing. And, mm-hmm. and for me, this seems like that's not the Christian message, or that's not the Christian ideal, is whether or not you stand or kneel for the national flag. That's irrelevant.
Right.
In fact,
from the perspective of a
scripture.
Person of faith and
yes.
scripture, it is irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah. Now, whether that's your own personal perspective
sure.
as an American mm-hmm. citizen,
right.
that's irrelevant. You know, not irrelevant, but that's something different.
Issue, yeah.
You know, you would certainly make the argument Jesus was kind of at best ambivalent towards Roman rule, at, you know, maybe at times subverting it,
mm-hmm.
a handful of times submitting.
Yeah.
You know, so he was doing things to advance the kingdom of God completely apart from whatever
yeah.
Rome was doing.
Right.
That whatever Rome was doing, he was saying, that's fine. I'm not about mm-hmm. that. I'm doing this. And
right.
his followers wanted a political revolution, not just a spiritual one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they had to come to terms with that political revolution is not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be something greater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, look, the message of Jesus exists now, and the Roman Empire does not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah.
obviously it worked. You know, it was better. So what does that mean for us in America? How do we balance this idea of I'm living in a spiritual space as a Christian while still engaging in American politics, ideals, laws every day?
Yeah.
How do you find that balance?
I don't know. I think so many times people have to be right. And I
sure.
think that is... that to me is like the core, the root of all evil. Like, I just feel like sometimes you're not open to listen, or people, me included, sometimes,
mm-hmm.
I'm not open to listen to everybody, what everybody else has to say.
Yeah.
What if there is a better way? What if there is a different way to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And you're so determined and so set on just me being right. I have to be right. And if I'm not right and it's not what I think, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I it goes back to just open conversations and listening, and I don't know, so heated all the time.
In your experience,
mm-hmm.
what's behind that desire to be right? Like, what's the underlying or root emotion behind this need for certainty?
Probably fear.
Of
the
what?
Fear of not being right, of
mm-hmm.
being wrong.
Is it just a fear of being wrong? Because, like, I'm afraid of being wrong, but I'm not afraid of being wrong to the point of, like, having to deny other people's points of view.
Well, I think this is not just a necessary fear of, like, you know, being wrong on a test or did you like a movie or
something. But this means everything I believed in and everything I am is wrong.
Well, see, I think that's what we have to get to, right? When we're having these conversations, we have to understand that we are challenging and being asked to challenge the very core of our identities.
Right.
And one of the things that I sometimes struggle with is blowing past that question for people.
Right.
That I'm so certain of my identity, mm-hmm. personally. I know that I'm rooted in Christ.
Right.
I know that that's what's going to guide my life. And this is something that I've dedicated the last 10 plus years of my life to very explicitly to do. So I blow past that question and I'm on to steps 4, 5, and 6 about how that works out. And then I forget that other people have not wrestled with that question, that other people have not been challenging and pushed in that same way. And so they're at step one. They see me at step 4, 5, and 6. Not that this is a linear progression,
sure.
right? But their aggression, frustration, hurt, whatever the emotions they might expressing that I might perceive as anger or stubbornness or whatever that might be, comes at me because they're seeing me act out of a place that they physically don't understand because they haven't wrestled with that core question of what is my guiding identity. And if I can take myself back, and I think this is something that we, as people who want to listen and as models for this, if we can step back and encourage others to look at that core identity first, I hope that there's maybe an avenue for conversation.
But I think here's the other thing with that, too. You have a church organization that has put this out on their on their sign or whatever. Your personal relationship with God is not necessarily going to be the same personal relationship that I have with God or that Patrick has with God or that anybody has with God.
Mm-hmm.
So your belief and who your identity or what your identity is rooted in is not necessarily, somebody else can say, I have a very strong relationship with God, yet I still agree with the statement, America, love it or leave it.
Sure.
And you're not going to because that's not your identity and who you are in Christ.
I'm not saying that conversation gets us all to agree.
Right.
I'm saying that conversation of looking back to what is our core identity helps us to talk to one another.
Sure.
In the face of disagreement. That if we can at least start from a place of saying, what are the core values and core beliefs that you're holding beneath? Because if I can point back and say, all right, this passage of Jesus, you know, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, that is my core identity as a Christian. If I can point back to that, and someone else can point back to Scripture and say, this part of Jesus is my core identity.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can say, there's not a part of Jesus that is at my core identity. Or they say this part of the Old Testament is part of my core identity. If we can understand where that core identity difference is, then as it splits, we can understand where those splits are coming, and we have an opportunity for conversation. I'm not saying it's going to get everybody to agree.
Yeah. No, I know.
I have no magic wand to wave to get everybody to agree. But
that would be nice.
Yeah, right? but I don't think we do enough work to understand the root of the issue. We treat these symptoms that are up here, right? The sign, this love it or leave it. I almost said love it or list it, which is a different thing.
It's a great show.
Love it or leave it. That is a symptom. That is not the core of their identity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The core of their identity is deeper than that. And, you know, given that it's a Baptist congregation, I don't even know how much of this is the congregation's identity versus the pastor's identity, because pastors have a lot more authority to make unilateral decisions in the Baptist tradition. That's just a different way of doing church, which is also part of the core identity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If I tried to pull this at Lord of Life does not have a kiosk for us to put a sign on out on the street. But if we did, I guarantee you that in a Lutheran church, there would be a committee that would make decisions about who's allowed to put what on the sign, and it would go through a process, and you know, it's just a different way of doing church because we have different core underlying values.
Yeah, and as we think about this, I think for me, this is definitely getting this core identity part, is this idea of, well, what trumps the other? What is going to come first for me, my Christianity or my Americanness, or my Christianity or my political leanings, or my Christianity or my own personal ideals, or my own personal vision for what the world has to offer? And I can say it's easy for me to point out in the other out there when they're failing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's harder for me to put that mirror back on myself
and
to say, well, what are the ways that I don't look at my own core identity? what's going on within me, and I don't find Jesus there. Mm-hmm. I'm finding something else. Mm-hmm. And so I think that part of that is true. Is not just pointing to the other side and saying, look at you guys, mm-hmm. you're not doing it right. Look at you guys, you're all hypocrites. Look at you guys, mm-hmm. you're not really a Christian. Mm-hmm. Instead of, how can I turn inwardly and say, what's going on inside of me? How am I bringing this Christianity or my own version of faith to the forefront, away from all these other things? Like it or not, all of us will one day reside in a place where there is no America. Mm-hmm. Heaven will not have an America attached right. to it. It will have Americans in it, and along with every other nationality and tribe, mm-hmm. you know, that has existed. Mm-hmm. It's not just for Americans. Mm-hmm. And so by placing on top of this temporal country or temporal ideas, an eternal significance, yeah. I think is when we get into problems. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this isn't just a right-wing issue. So I think sometimes I see this more often in far-right conservative places. But I think this happens in left-wing places too. I recently saw a thread on an internet group chat where they were saying, pointing to aspects in Leviticus of like how you're Israel is supposed to have open borders, in a sense, to bring the stranger and the foreigner to them, and them paying like, look, this is how we should organize our country in America. Yeah. And then for part, sometimes if you agree with that, you'd be like, absolutely, why wouldn't we? But if you take a step back, you'd say like, do I really want all the Levitical laws to be brought into America right now?
Right.
And the answer is no. You know, I don't really want all those things to be placed onto our American governance. So how come I want to go pick and choose, but I get mad when other people go pick and choose?
Right.
And so I think that's where we really need to say, like, so if that's not really what I want for all of us, then why would I get mad when somebody else is doing the exact same thing I am? They're just picking and choosing different options.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you would be getting mad because you disagree, right? We're mad because our values are being challenged.
Right.
And I don't think I have anything else to add on that. I thought I had something.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, I don't. I guess my biggest concern with the sign mm-hmm. is that we are supposed to go and make disciples and bring people to Jesus. Yeah. And this is a very unwelcoming sign.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be drawing more people in and sharing the love of Jesus with people, that is not sharing the love of Jesus with people. And that's, I think, the most disheartening part of the whole thing.
I have something even more disheartening. Because this was the most disheartening part of this for me. The pastor has said that he's going to keep the sign up longer because of the support he has received from others. Hmm. And so for me, it's not even like he did this and it was a bad judgment call and, wow, that was a stupid decision. And the community and the church rightfully say, this is not how we want Christianity to look. Mm-hmm. It's that other Christians and other people within this community have looked at that and said, keep doing it. Mm-hmm. Like that is the most disheartening part, that we will look at that. We look at this greater division that is not based on Jesus, not based on Christ, and say, keep doing it. Keep mm-hmm. those things up. And that makes that's even more disheartening for me, is this idea that he's getting, this church is getting applause from members that are not even members of their congregation, say, keep doing that. Because I think we're forgetting the kingdom where we really live in, and placing too much emphasis on the kingdom that we see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know who Tony Campola is?
Yeah.
I know who Tony Kemp is.
Not that.
Nope.
No.
He's a pastor and writer, and he said this. I think this is interesting what he said of like how faith and politics mix, and mm-hmm. I'm going to edit his version from how he originally said it. But it's like mixing dog poop and ice cream. You ruin one without doing much to the other. And I think that there's aspects of that I do think are true. Mm-hmm. That when you fully go all in for whatever nation, whatever ideal that you're in, and trying to think like, I'll bring Christianity there, you're probably dirtying the name and the message of Jesus without really changing much on the other side.
Yeah. Mm.
And that doesn't mean Christians should not run for office. I think they should, because Christians should be doctors and policemen and cops and soldiers and everything that every profession Christians should be present in. But I think coming into this place of like
drug dealers,
it's not really a profession, is it?
Yeah, some people make it one.
I guess you could be like, you could run a marijuana dispensary in the name of Jesus.
Could you?
I'm sure you could.
All right.
Yeah.
What would Jesus's brand? Never mind.
I mean, Jesus doesn't really have much to say about marijuana.
No, I was thinking, what would his brand be? Because they have like so many clever names for things.
Yeah, well, drug culture is not something I really know much.
You'd
about.
Have to have something with Mary in there, right?
I'm sure Mary.
I have no idea.
Because Mary Jane is
right. You know, that's a thing. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it seems like we are. We've reached the end of this conversation for today. So it is recommendation time. Do you have a song, Katie?
It's recommendation time.
All right. You know, we're working on it. I think you need another lyric in there.
I don't know.
You know, that's
it's
more
a
of
little
a
jingle.
That's more of a jingle. Yeah, not a song.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing a song.
Okay. Maybe some instrumentation next time too, if you'd like.
Do you want to bring in a keyboard
or a ukulele? You know,
You play the guitar. You should.
I do,
bring that
but
in.
I'm already doing things.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
All right, so I've got a recommendation for us today.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah, so Patrick and I were gone last week because we were on a mission trip with the youth from here at Lord of Life. We went to New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yes, weather permitted.
Weather permitted.
And
Hurricane Barry was not much of a hurricane, at least not where we were.
Yes.
And so we were able to go and we were able to work with a great organization and do some really cool things in Louisiana with our youth. But I'm going to recommend that everybody go out and find yourself a po' boy. Because
absolutely.
We had an opportunity to eat at the restaurant that invented the poor boy sandwich.
Correct.
And so if you're not familiar with the poor boy, it's basically the same thing as a sub. Or, you know, some places call them submarines. Some people call them grinders. Some people call them hoagies. All of these are virtually the same thing, just slightly modified in one way or another. Mm-hmm. I had a fried shrimp po' boy, which was delicious. It was about 8 inches long. I got the small, thinking that I was being, like, reasonable and responsible with my, you know, health. And it was, like, 8 inches long. It had, like, 35 fried shrimp on it. And it was incredible. And
I got the surf and turf po' boy. It was
that also looked real good.
Roast beef and shrimp on one po' boy. It was delicious.
Yeah.
It was
good.
I read their history.
What was the name of it?
Parkway Bakery
Parkway,
and Tavern.
It. Yeah, it was real good.
So
shout out to Parkway, friends of the podcast.
Friends of the podcast, Parkway. And they invented po' boys because at the time there was like a streetcar strike.
Yep.
And so this restaurant said, how are we going to feed these poor boys?
Because they didn't have any money, because they weren't working, but they were striking to get better working conditions as they're working on the streetcars.
And so one of our leaders did get the original po' boy sandwich, which was basically a potato sandwich. So like fried potatoes was kind of made up the main ingredient.
With a gravy on it.
With a gravy.
Bread with potatoes?
Yes.
It's what you
if
got.
If you're poor, you've got bread and you've got potatoes.
Okay.
And you've got a gravy because gravy goes further than the meat itself.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. But it was really good. You should go eat a po' boy.
Eat a po' boy.
Yeah. Or a burger, because I'm still on my burger quest.
My recommendation time, Patrick. You get your own recommendation time.
We also ate hot dogs and they were real good.
We did, yeah. Those hot dogs were delicious. We did like real work too. We didn't just like...
You just ate
it's
the whole
an eating
time.
Tour. That pizza was great too, man.
Awesome, yeah.
So many, so many good things we ate in New Orleans.
Yep, that's true. And the jambalaya that the cook made for us at
that was
the
also
place
very,
we were
very
staying.
Good.
Yeah. Homemade jambalaya.
Ooh.
On a future podcast, Katie and I...
No, it was gumbo. It was gumbo.
Yeah, it was gumbo.
Not jambalaya. I always get those two confused.
On a future podcast, Katie and I will kind of talk about some of our summer plans and are the things we've done and why we do the things we do here for our summer and why churches do those things. So we'll probably have some more stories about New Orleans and what Katie's been up to this summer coming up when you're gone with your precious little boy.
I'm giving Patrick a dirty look
just
right
kidding.
Now, just for all of our listeners at home. Hey, if you liked what you heard today, be sure to rate and review us. Share it with your friends, neighbors, strangers, wherever you are.
Comment.
Get the word out. Yeah, comment. Hey, we've getting some comments on our webpage as well.
Did.
You can go to beyondsundaypodcast.com and you can leave a comment on our website. Thanks to Chuck for your great comment. We think your name is Chuck. That's what you wrote your name down as. There's no other identifying information. So thanks for your great comment about our episode on baptism.
We're 90% sure it's Chuck Norris.
Right, yeah, Patrick's really certain of that. Also, somebody else, I don't remember who it was, but a couple weeks ago somebody left a comment about one of our episodes, and it was one while Katie was gone. I think it was the one with Addiction where Kat was hosting, but I don't remember who that was, so sorry, I've forgotten who you were, but your comment was noted and appreciated.
But it wasn't Chuck Norris?
It was not Chuck Norris.
It another 80s action movie star?
Yeah, it was...
Jean-Claude?
No, who's the guy before? Or, this is so bad. Never mind.
Sylvester Stallone.
No, this is getting worse. We want to hear what you think. We want to hear from you, so let us know. Or you can send us an email at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast, on Instagram at beyond_Facebook. You cannot find us on the Twitter.
It's not beyond_Facebook.
It's beyond_Sunday.
Chuck Norris is not happy with you right now.
Quit. I'm out. You all do it yourself.
All right. Have a great week, everyone. And at least Katie and I will see you next week.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Maybe.
Maybe. We'll be there. Yeah. What do we got going on?
Nothing.
Bye, everybody.